Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Amit Stefanik, Tom Holman, Lee Zeldin. Big names today announced for some key positions in the Trump White House and the Trump administration. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here. Democrats are election deniers. They refuse to seat Senator-elect Dave McCormick. It is a scam. It is pathetic. And it's something I'll be talking about tomorrow morning on Fox and Friends. First, if you're up tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning, tune in. All right. I'll be talking about it tomorrow morning, and we'll be talking a lot about it in the days to come. McCormick's, though, going full steam ahead, and he's saying, I'm going. Republicans are going to escort him into the chamber if necessary. But Schumer is being a jerk, and this is all about raising money. They know the case he's done. It's all about raising money. That's all it is. It's a scam, like a lot of scams the Democrats do. That's where we are right now. And then, of course, the best is that Donald Trump said Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo would not be joining his administration. A proactive, you're fired, before they were ever even offered a job, considered a job, or anything like that. That's great, too. I'm so glad we are turning the page on Nikki Haley. She would undermine Trump at every turn. I'm sorry, but maybe you support her, or maybe you like her. I really don't. She represents that neocon warmonger wing of the party that I say good riddance to. And Trump needs to surround himself with people he trusts, people who are loyal to him. And they keep saying he's surrounding himself with loyal people. Yes, right. Exactly. That's what he should do. Well, for two reasons. Number one, so he succeeds. I mean, he has a mandate from the American people. They want to see the guy get some work done. There's a lot of problems in this country, if you haven't noticed, they need to be fixed, from the border to the economy to the wars. And I mean, there's a million problems, right? So they want him to succeed. He's got a mandate from the American people to do so. He needs competent, talented people who are loyal to his agenda around him. Secondly, it's what everyone in politics does. They bring their people, their loyal people around them to help them get the job done. It's a mistake Trump made in 2016 or 2017 when he took office. He had a lot of people around him who were not for Trump. They were not Make America Great Again. They were not America First. They were the establishment. And Trump learned his lesson. This time around, he's going to have people who agree with him, who have the same vision, and are not going to try to undermine him in those positions. And look, if he appoints somebody I don't like, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, but I think so far he's on the right track. He's got a lot of appointments to fill, a lot of appointments to fill. But it's the key cabinet positions that everybody's watching out for. Elise Stefanik is a fighter. Every time she's been on the show, one thing that I've realized about Elise Stefanik, in all her appearances, remember the time she battled the professor at Penn over the anti-Semitism on campus, battled Harvard. Elise Stefanik's a fighter. She will battle on behalf of the American people at the United Nations. That's something you want, too. You want somebody who's going to go in there and fight for America, fight for our sovereignty, not fight to have a global cabal of Bond villains run everything. So I'm glad she's going to be there, because she's a fighter. She believes in this country. She puts America first, and that's what we need at the United Nations. If we're going to continue to be part of the United Nations, we need somebody who's going to be a bulldog when it comes to holding them accountable on their treatment of human rights, how the UN stands with dictators and genocidal maniacs and people that hate the Jews and people that stand for oppression of people and, of course, people that want to take away America's sovereignty. Elise Stefanik will be that bulldog and who will do that. And that's very, very important. Tom Holman, as border czar, is outstanding. I mean, this is a guy who has been in the trenches. He's fought the fight, and he's been speaking out on this for years. It's a great pick. It's an excellent pick, and I'm really happy to see that. He's not messing around with this. He is going to make sure that the border is secure. He's going to make sure that the criminals are deported from this country, and the left is going to lose their mind over it. And who cares at this point? Because there's such an insignificant number of people. They really are. There's such an insignificant number of people. New York cannot block migrant buses from Texas, according to a judge. A judge ruled that today. So for the meantime, the migrants are going to keep coming. As long as that border is open, The migrants are going to keep coming on buses. So a federal court judge said on Friday, New York cannot block Texas from sending buses with migrants who have crossed the U.S.-Mexico border into the Big Apple. That's why New York got another 5,000 migrants or 10,000 migrants over the weekend. And Mayor Adams filed that lawsuit. So here's a guy. I mean, this is a guy who wants to see the border secured. This is a guy that wants to see the border shut down and illegal immigrants deported. He wants them out of his city. He wants them out of New York. Get out. So Adams is going to be happy with this. Absolutely. 100%. So that's good news right there that this judge said that. Now, as the Democrat Party is doing its soul searching, trying to figure out what went wrong here, and they're now blaming Biden. Biden's people are blaming Obama for getting him out of the race. Biden's people saying he could have performed better than Kamala Harris. There is a question of just how the Democrat Party got here and how the Democrat Party lost its soul. Last night on 60 Minutes, Roz, a Democrat for life, explains why she flipped. All right, talking to Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. Scott Pelley makes a lot of money. A lot more money than Roz does, a lot more money than I do, a lot more money than you do. Scott Pelley does quite well. He was the evening news host on CBS, whatever that show is. It's, 6:30 p.m. He's okay. He's doing just fine. But he's flummoxed. He can't understand how somebody like Roz, a diner manager, whose family motto was gotta vote Democrat, could flip. Cut five.
Yep, 7:30 we open, 7:30 to 10. Yep.
Roz Werkheiser was a waitress 25 years ago. Now she runs the place.
My mother used to always say, gotta vote Democrat, they're for the poor people.
You grew up in a Democratic household?
Yes.
But you just voted for Donald Trump?
Yes.
Inflation is down by more than half. Interest rates are falling, mortgage rates are falling, wages are going up. Are you not feeling that?
I don't feel it. No, I don't feel it. I don't feel it at all. Everybody I talk to, nobody's wages went up. But we had 4 years of this. 4 years. Gas was super high. Yes, it just went down now, but what the past three and a half years it was up.
And of course, 60 Minutes can't understand this. Bernie Sanders gets it, though. Bernie gets it, doubling down on his claim that Democrats abandoned working class voters amid Nancy Pelosi. I think that's a big part of it, but I think there's something else, too. OK, there's this Representative Seth Moulton, who is a Democrat from Massachusetts. He's receiving blowback now over comments that he made about transgender athletes with The New York Times. OK, so Seth Moulton, who is a slime ball, but this is what he came out and said. I think the problems for the Democrat Party go beyond just simply abandoning working class voters. I think that Justine Bateman is onto something here when she says that you've got the woke problem in America. The woke party took over the Democrat Party. I think she's spot on about this. So this guy, Seth Moulton, said in an interview with The New York Times, he has two daughters and doesn't want them getting run over on a playing field by a male or formerly male athlete. But as a Democrat, I'm supposed to be afraid to say that. Democrats quickly rebuked his comments, with the Massachusetts Democrat Party chairman Steve Kerrigan saying they do not represent the broad view of our party. Kerrigan also said the party is proud to stand with the LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet community, especially our transgender friends, neighbors, and loved ones across the Commonwealth. Salem, which is in the congressman's district, is especially taking concern. Quote, the Salem School Committee and district leaders denounce in the strongest possible terms the comments made by Congressman Seth Moulton regarding children's athletic participation. Mayor Dominic Pangallo and Salem School Committee members said in comments that his comments with respect to trans and non-binary children do not reflect our views. However, the congressman is defending his remarks. Quote, I was just speaking authentically as a dad about one of the many issues where I think we're just out of touch with the majority of voters, and I stand by my position. He said that during an MSNBC appearance. The backlash I've received proves my point that we can't even have these discussions as a party. And we've got to be able to have these debates. But instead, we have a wing of our party that shames us, that tries to conceal people who try to even bring up these difficult topics, and frankly, shames voters. Now, he's not the only Democrat questioning whether the party should realign its stance on transgender people in sports. Representative Tom Suozzi of New York, who represents a Long Island swing district, told the New York Times last week that the party should change its stance on the matter. He said, quote, "I don't want to discriminate against anybody, but I don't think biological boys should be playing in girls' sports. Democrats should be saying this." He added the next day that we failed as a party to respond to the Republican weaponization of anarchy on college campuses. Defund the police, biological boys playing in girls' sports, and the general attack on traditional values. So it's a couple things happening at once. I think all of these things happening at once are what's driving all of this. Let me play you Bernie Sanders talking about the working class people in this country and how the Democrat Party has abandoned them. He's doubling down on his stance on this. And I don't think it's just that. I think it's this plus woke equals Democrat disaster at the polls this past election. And I don't care who the candidate was going to be, whether it was Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Josh Shapiro, or Joe Biden, or Michelle Obama, they all would have lost. They all would have lost to Trump because it's two things happening at the same time. It is the working class people have said the Democrat Party abandoned me in favor of woke. And the American people said, I don't want to tolerate this woke crap anymore. I can't tolerate this woke crap anymore. Enough is enough. Two things converging at once. Cut six.
I want to start with the scathing response that you gave after the Democrats lost, Kamala Harris lost pretty big. You said the Democrats abandoned the working class. The chairman of the DNC called it straight up BS and said Joe Biden is the most pro-worker president of my lifetime. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she disagreed with you. She added, quote, Bernie Sanders has not won. Do you stand by what you said?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Joe Biden is a friend of mine. I've been proud to work with him on an agenda which has been very strongly in favor of the working class. Biden promised to be the most progressive president since FDR in many ways on domestic issues. I think he kept his word. But here is the reality. The working class of this country is angry, and they have a reason to be angry. We are living in an economy today, Donna, where the people on top are doing phenomenally well, while 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. 25% of elderly people are trying to get by on $15,000 a year or less. We have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth, and parents all over this country worry that their kids may have a lower standard of living than they do. That is the economic reality. And what Donald Trump did is provided an explanation. He went around, he said, I know you're angry, and the reason is that zillions of illegal immigrants are coming over, and they're eating your cats and dogs and everything else. That's the reason. Well, obviously, that is not the reason. The reason is, in my view, that we have an unprecedented level of corporate greed today, more income and wealth inequality, and people on top want it all. And we need an agenda that says to the working class, we're going to take on these powerful special interests and create an economy and a government that works for you. And by the way, that can't happen unless you get big money out of politics. We got to get rid of the Citizens United Supreme Court decision so billionaires do not continue to buy elections.
Okay, couple things to unpack here. In 2016, when Bernie Sanders ran for president, he ran on a populist movement. I remember this campaign video his campaign put out back then. It was brilliant. All right. It was brilliant. And it was a video of him with all his people in the fields. And they were all singing to the Simon and Garfunkel song America. And it was a great video, but it showed the outpouring of support Bernie Sanders had. And the party saw that and said, we can't control this guy. We need a puppet. OK, we need a puppet. And they stopped him. They stopped him from running for president. They literally circled the wagons around him and motivated it in a way that or maneuvered it in such a way that Hillary Clinton would get the nomination. Did the same thing to him in 2020 by everyone circling around Joe Biden. Same exact thing. They had a populist movement within their own party, and they snuffed it out because the control freaks in the Democrat Party want a puppet, and Bernie was not going to be a puppet. Look, the Republican Party tried to do the same thing to Donald Trump in the primary. They knew Trump wasn't going to be a primary, and they tried to stop him. And that's where the Never Trumpers come in, because they know Trump can't be controlled. But there's another factor to this, too, which is in addition to the elites deciding to shut out Bernie Sanders because he's not a pro-war elitist, a puppet master, a puppet that they can control. The other fact is that they don't like anyone who works for a living. The Democrat Party doesn't like anyone who works for a living. They look down on them. They mock them. They belittle them. Bernie, like Trump, relates to the working class people. I don't agree with Bernie Sanders' policies, but there's a reason why Joe Rogan endorsed him in 2016. You see what I mean? There's a reason why Joe Rogan and a lot of the podcasters now were Bernie people. There were a lot of reasons why people that backed Bernie in the primary went over to Donald Trump in 2016 in the general election. A lot of it had to do with his stance on war. A lot of it had to do with his stance on America First policies, too. Democrat Party, as the party of the elites, would not allow that. What they did to Bernie in 2016 and 2020 was shameful, but it shows you the arrogance of a party that thinks that they can control everything. And it ultimately led to their demise. It ultimately led to the ass-kicking shellacking they got on Election Day by Donald Trump, a populist. And then what they also did, because they hate working class people, is they instituted their woke DEI policies, and they decided from 2020 on they were going to make everybody's life a living hell. They were going to make you walk on eggshells everywhere you went, afraid to say hello to people in the office, having to sit through these ridiculous seminars on diversity, equity, and inclusion to learn how you have unconscious bias, you're a horrible person, if you're a male, you're a rapist. I mean, just on and on. You're toxic. So the actress Justine Bateman, who has been trolling all these people on social media now, been putting up these hysterical rage videos, these lefties who've been posting all these videos, she said the following. For anyone in the press trying to imply that I'm on your team, I do not care about political teams. I'm merely in favor of each individual freely living in a life however they want, without impairing any other individual from freely living their own life. And that means no more woke oppression, with threats of destroying people's lives professionally and societally because they do not want to think like you. No more trying to control what other people think and feel. No more deciding someone is a heinous person just because they want to discuss alternatives to a woke position. It's over. And I'm fascinated that this far down in the creator economy, with all the ring lights, tripods, and editing equipment available, that people don't have better production values in their online videos. I'll give an example of that. All right, so here's a lefty hysterical melting down over Donald Trump winning, and it's exactly the insufferable nonsense that Justine Bateman's talking about here. Cut 15.
I think we severely underestimated the amount of women around us who will never be able to stop seeking the approval and validation of the white men around them. And y'all really exposed yourself with the results of this election. These white women who voted against our interests, these are the women that we went to high school with, that we were best friends with in college, that we played sports with our whole lives. But they chose to listen to their dads. They chose to listen to their boyfriends or their husbands. They chose to put the interests of the white men around them in their lives above the interests of women, above the interests of minorities, above the interests of oppressed people. I will never be able to wrap my mind around that. How you can be a highly educated woman, see how women around you are being treated, see how minorities around you are being treated, and still choose to value the opinion of the white men around you the most and vote for their interests. One of the most important women in my life married a rich white man, and she chose to vote for his interests instead of the interests of her three daughters. The silence from all of these women right now who could not bring themselves to vote for Harris, to vote for another woman in this election, is shameful, and we will not forget.
That's what she's talking about. People like this. Now, these rage videos are fugazis. These are all scripted nonsense, whether it's people crying or it's people lecturing other people, or it's all fake. It's all fake. But this is the thing, and this is the key. The Democrat Party's out of touch with working class voters, and there's enough people in this country that have said, you know what? I'm tired of this nonsense. I am tired of white men being the bad guy. I am tired of you selling this fear that my daughters need to have unprotected sex and get knocked up, and somehow that's a good thing in America. Like, we should be applauding this. Like, I saw a video of a woman talking about how now she's got to go out there and get IUDs for her daughters, as if to imply they can't have abortions. First of all, her daughters could have abortions, but as a mom, wouldn't you want to strive to make sure your kids don't have to? I mean, even where it's legal, which is everywhere, wouldn't as a parent you'd kind of want your children not to have an abortion? Like, isn't that a goal we can all strive for? That my daughters don't have to get an unwanted pregnancy? Isn't that but this mom is so upset about the fact that if her daughter got knocked up, she couldn't have an abortion, which is a lie, of course. And she's like, oh, now I got to get her IUDs. Like, oh, whereas opposed, I was just going to tell her, just go out and have sex with anybody you want. And don't worry about protection. You just get an abortion. I mean, what kind of a whack job thinks like that? And the answer is nobody. Except if you're on the extreme fringe, and that doesn't represent America. That represents nutbags. And we have had to kowtow to these people. And it's like this congressman now getting this blowback for saying what everybody's been thinking. A biological male should not be out there on the field playing with your daughter, period. We should not have to pay for some criminal to get his schwanz chopped off in prison. We should not have to pay for these things. This is how most people think and feel, most rational people. The problem is, for the last 4 years, and this is what Justine Bateman points out, we have had to walk on eggshells and be very afraid to say our opinions. And to prove that point, just think of all the censorship that happened during COVID. Think of how if you went out there and suggested something like, I don't know if I want to get a vaccine, or I don't know if I should get my kids a vaccine, or I don't really think masks work, or I don't really think I should have to get a vaccine if I want to go to a park. Just saying those things, you would be shunned from society and outcast of society. And the point I'm making, and where these two things converge, is as the elites gain control of the Democrat Party and shove the working class people out because they belittle them and look down upon them, they brought in the faculty lounge experts. And the faculty lounge experts always think they know better than you. And as part of not only telling you how to live your life, they told you what to think. And they said that if you got out of line and said things that were offensive, you should be shunned by society. And that became the Democrat Party. And that's why they got here. It's not the candidate. You can have the best candidate. If you've got a party that is way off on message and everything else, you will never, ever win. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, crime is still a thing. And if you're a business owner, what are you doing to make sure that you have the protection for your business, your facility, your access that you need? Well, what you should do is reach out to my buddy, Tom McCausland, McCausland Lock and Alarm. You know what he will do for you? He will make sure that you have the state-of-the-art key card system to control access to your facility, determining who has access when and where. In addition to that, closed circuit cameras. Cameras to be able to see what's going on in your facilities. This is what Tom McCausland does for business owners. And he's the best there is, and he's a local guy. In fact, Ryan Mannion is going to join me soon. And every year, McCausland Lock and Alarm steps up to support the Travis Mannion Foundation. Tom McCausland believes in giving back to the community. And if you ever have any issues, you're going to talk to somebody local, probably Tom himself. You're not going to get stuck in the morass of some 800 number. So reach out to him now by going to 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. Make sure your business has the control that you need. Access a state-of-the-art key card system so you know and determine who gets access to your facility, when and where. Incredible camera system so you can keep an eye on everything that's going on. That's what you need. McCausland Lock and Alarm, 610-430-1500.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My next guest knows all about American soldiers. She works with them every single day when they return home. She, of course, is Ryan Mannion, Gold Star's sister and the leader of the Travis Mannion Foundation. And she's our buddy. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
On this Veterans Day, very important day for our country to say thank you to everyone who serves. It's very important that we do so, and I am very happy you made the time for us to do so today.
Yep, it is. It's a great day to be an American, to celebrate the freedoms that we can sometimes take for granted, and thank those men and women who step into uniform each and every day for all of us.
But a lot of them are still struggling in this country. I know that every year we do the Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon. We talk about this. We talk about the suicide rate among veterans, PTSD, still having problems acclimating to society. I mean, this is really where your organization, the Travis Mannion Foundation, comes in. So in case anyone doesn't know, and we have listeners all across the country now, give us an overview of the Travis Mannion Foundation and the work that you do for our veterans.
Absolutely. You know, Rich, as you know, our organization started after my brother, First Lieutenant Travis Mannion, was killed in Iraq on his second tour of duty. And we wanted to make sure that we were providing a community to men and women as they took off the uniform. One of the biggest issues that face our veteran community is that they feel disconnected. And they lose that sense of purpose. And so we wanted to make sure that we were giving that back to them. And so our model is a little bit flipped to other traditional veteran service organizations. And we like to say that our programs do not exist if veterans are not running them, if they are not leading them. And so for us, it's about giving them opportunities to become connected with another community, which is the Travis Mannion Foundation, and to get back into the neighborhoods that they came from and show that they are still civic assets and serve in different ways. And so we give them those opportunities to serve outside of uniform.
And that's important because they want to serve. They're built to serve. These are men and women who are literally built to serve. And they're serving, and then they come home, and sometimes they feel that emptiness, that gap. That's where TMF steps up and says, here's how we can do it. And give us an example of some of the ways that you connect the veterans to service in our country. Like, for one of my favorites is when we talk about building character.
Yeah, so, you know, our flagship program is actually called Character Does Matter. We actually train veterans to deliver character education to our next generation. And I can think of no better time than right now in our nation's history that we need to be getting into classrooms. We need to be teaching kids about civics, about mm-hmm. service, about what it means to serve, about what the military represents. And that's just what we do. And guess what? They're not going to hear it just from their teachers. They're going to hear it from service members themselves. So they take off that uniform and they step back into the classroom. And they share with our next generation what it means to be a servant leader. And, you know, for us, it's not about, you know, trying to indoctrinate every kid to serve the military, but it is about making sure that every young American understands what service is about and understands the role they play in society in making sure that they have that opportunity to serve as well. And so no better group to do that than our military veterans.
No doubt about it, Ryan Mannion. And that inspiration that they give to young people is incredibly important, as it also helps them as well. Why do you think that so many of our veterans are still dealing with PTSD? And there are services obviously available, but I know that the suicide rate is higher among veterans. I know that it's still a struggle for many of them. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think there's a lot of different factors that face veterans and face men and women when they take off the uniform. But, you know, it was interesting. There was a Pew report done. It was a couple years ago. And the number one factor for the military suicide rate is loneliness. And, you know, we try to look at all these different pinpoints of what is it? Is it homelessness? Is it this? Is it that? It's loneliness. right? And so you think about, you're part of this group, this, the camaraderie that exists in working towards a common goal, where you turn and you've got your brother or sister on the left or right of you. And then all of that is just stripped away. And that isolation and loneliness, it's a compounding effect. And so that's why I think it is so important for organizations like ours, and we're not the only one, but organizations to show that there are places for our veterans to go to, that there are communities that can fulfill that sense of loneliness and isolation that exists when they take off that uniform. But it is really like, it's a all hands in kind of effort here. It's not just the veteran service organizations. It's everybody needs to kind of go all in. And, you know, there's simple things you can do just in your own communities. Like, if you know a veteran, reach out to them, because the studies have shown that just picking up the phone and saying, hey, how are you doing? Like, that makes a difference. So simple things like that, but combating that loneliness epidemic is, I think, the most important factor. And that's really what we're trying to do each and every day.
You know, when we think about respect for our veterans, I mean, right now today, Columbia University, for example, you've got activists on campus who are planning a protest of Veterans Day. They want to reclaim from the U.S. war machine. And they say Veterans Day is an American holiday to honor the patriotism, love of country, and sacrifice of veterans. We reject the holiday and refuse to celebrate it, said a flyer for the agitator of the group. The American war machine should not be honored for the horrors unleashed on others. I mean, it's a terrible thing. And, I think veterans see that kind of stuff and they think, what's the point? What did I put on the uniform for if that's how young people view us? So I think connecting the young people to have respect for what they do and for veterans and what they do in service is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to make a big shift in this country, and hopefully we're on our way and it is happening now. But like, we have to give reverence and respect to these men and women. And, yes, you know, I feel deeply passionate about that. Not only am I a military child, but I'm the sister of a fallen service member, and I'm now the proud mother of a midshipman at the Naval Academy. And, you know, for us to, you think about like the Vietnam veterans, Rich, right? Mm-hmm. And you think about how they came home, and it is a stain on our country, the way that they came home. Luckily, we've gotten past that, but I see, you know, over the last several years, this kind of dip into some of this stuff you're talking about, this rhetoric that, you know, not respecting our men and women that serve. And you know what I say to them? This minutia and their protests, like my brother would always say, because I would get real fired up about different protests that were happening when he was over in Iraq. And he would always say to me, guess what? I'm over here and I'm putting on the uniform every day to give these yahoos the right to do that. And but I think, again, for us, it's about making sure that our youth understand, and we're getting back into the classrooms, and we're taking away some of the stuff they were being taught, and we're replacing that with the things they need to know, like patriotism, love of country. These are important things that we need to teach our children.
I agree 100%. Well said, my friend. Well said. TravisMannion.org is the website. And on this Veterans Day, double the impact. If you would like to give, your gift will be matched up to $25,000 thanks to a generous gift from the Pronio family. Just go to TravisMannion.org if you want to help out. The other thing, too, which I think is really important that you guys do, is help Gold Star families. You are a Gold Star sister. Of course, your dad, who I'm very, very fond of, Gold Star dad. Connecting Gold Star families together, giving them the support, that's also a big feature of the Travis Mannion Foundation. And I know it's not Memorial Day, it's Veterans Day, but nevertheless, many of them, like yourself, in addition to being a Gold Star family member, have somebody who's serving our country. So it does intersect a lot, and it's really important, that work that you do.
Thank you, Rich. And, you know, for us, it's making sure, one of the things that's unique about our organization is that all of our programs that are offered to veterans are also offered to Gold Star family members, because we want to make sure, you know, just as military service members are taking off the uniform and that transition for them is huge, trust me, the transition for a loved one who's just lost their family member is just as huge, if not even more. And so we want to make sure that they know that we're there to help them find their new normal, find their new path, all while honoring their loved one. So it's obviously it's deeply personal and important to me, but it's a main effort at our organization as well.
And by the way, I'll recommend a great book, The Knock at the Door, which Ryan co-wrote. It's an excellent, excellent book, really important. So go to TravisMannion.org today and be generous. Help out our veterans on this Veterans Day. Ryan, you do such great work. I'm proud to call you a friend. I really am. I'm really proud to call you a friend. I'm also super impressed that you were able to get El Presidente, Stool Presidente, on your podcast. I don't know how you did it, but that is something very impressive right there.
Hey, Rich, you know what? The great thing about Dave Portnoy is he is a great lover of our military community. And I will tell you, anything I've asked him to do in support of the Travis Mannion Foundation, it's been a quick yes. So it's awesome to see people like him with the platform he has, making sure that he uses it for the good. So it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would say so, my friend. I would say so. All right, Ryan, enjoy the day. And thank you again for all of your hard work. We appreciate it. And give our best to your son, the midshipman. That's really, really cool.
Thanks, Rich. And you have a great Veterans Day. Thanks, as always, for all you do for the Travis Mannion Foundation.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, and I'll see Ryan for dinner very soon. We have our rescheduled dinner with our Travis Mannion Foundation donors since last time I got shingles. DuckDuckGo, Privacy Pro. This is really important stuff here. Privacy Pro, you got to get it, all right? Now, this is the key. We live in a day and age of hackers, scammers, people that will 100% steal your identity and sell it to the highest bidder. Or lowest bidder, they don't care. There are people out there trying to get your social security number. And if they have it, they're putting it out there to other people. It's a very, very dangerous time on the World Wide Web. So you need Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is the local company that has been the pioneer in safeguarding your identity and your data online for years. And now they've stepped up the game with Privacy Pro, a 3-in-1 privacy tool to help you stay safe while you're online. Number one, you get a VPN. Now, a lot of companies offer VPNs, but this is a VPN from DuckDuckGo. So all the data is going to be encrypted, even from your internet service provider at your own home. They see everything you do, but not when you use the VPN from DuckDuckGo. It also protects you in public places, too, and at work, hotspots, wherever. Secondly, personal data removal. Your name, phone numbers, email addresses, any of that stuff that's out there, DuckDuckGo is going to get it removed for you. And then it's got personal identity theft restoration. If your identity is ever stolen, DuckDuckGo will get it back for you. All that for only $10 a month. That's a no-brainer. Come on. What are you doing? Plus, you get a 7-day free trial by going to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up today. You'll be grateful that you did. You cannot leave the house or even be in your house and be online without Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's why I signed up. For $10 a month, I'm not taking any chances. I want that level of peace in mind and protection. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, whose song request was this, Justin?
This was from Kimmy in chat.
Interesting.
She said it was an ode to the Kamala Harris campaign and their search for money in these trying times.
Well done, Kimmy. Thanks for chatting along in the YouTube chat. I saw DeSantis. She sent me an article that I guess Kamala Harris is $20 million in debt and not paying off her people, which you would have known this. Had you tuned in to Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon when I was on the show, because we talked about this on the show. Also, Oprah getting paid $1 million. So you sending me those two things, well, I appreciate it. Those are two tells that you didn't watch the show Saturday night.
Okay, you know that I wasn't going to watch on Saturday. I usually watch it later that week. I'm a busy man.
You have nothing. You have no life. You have nothing going on. Your girlfriend's a fugazi. What were you possibly doing Saturday night?
I had to hang out with my fake girlfriend.
Oh, I thought she's in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We FaceTimed then.
Oh, you FaceTimed. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's very, very sweet.
No, wait. She's in Tahiti. That's where
Tahiti,
she was, right?
Right, yeah. Right, right, right. Yes. Tahiti. I forgot about that.
You're purposely confusing me.
You heard some rumors regarding how Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo were publicly axed before they were even offered a job.
Yeah, the hot rumor is that Don Jr. actually had a lot to do with that. He sees them in, well, first of all, I don't think they're well-liked. And then the second factor was he viewed them as potential competitors in 2028 to J.D. Vance, which everyone knows Don Jr., a big fan of J.D. Vance.
Big fan of J.D. Vance. Yes, he is. Interesting. I could see that. No doubt about that. Don Jr. is he's got a lot of sway in Trump world. So very interesting. And you also sent me this article that Barack Obama is nervous about his legacy. Is he nervous about his legacy or is he nervous about other things that may come out about him now that Biden hates him and Trump hates him?
Well, according to his biographer, this guy, David Garrow, who's writing a new book called Rising Star, The Making of Barack Obama, apparently Barack is a little bit nervous that two Trump victories reflects poorly upon him.
There is a video that's out there. It's AI generated, and it's not one that Danny Polishuk did, but it's very good anyway. And it's got Obama and Biden cursing each other out. And Biden's like, my family's protected as yours. Everything's going to come out about you, pal. It's all going to come out. It's pretty funny, actually. AI is great. I love AI. No, I could see that, though. I definitely could see that about Obama being worried about that, his legacy in tatters. It's a rejection of him in a big way. And he probably hates the fact that Trump at one point questioned his where he was born. You know what I mean? He probably deep down hates that a lot. So what else, too? I got a lot of stuff. Were you able to find Lee Zeldin by chance?
I do have a little Zeldin if you want to hear it.
Yeah, he was named today to be the head of the EPA. He went on Fox News, and this is what he said a short time ago. Take a listen.
So what did he, you know, what is that? How does that translate? Translate that to me for day one actions from the EPA.
So day one and the first 100 days, we have the opportunity to roll back regulations that are forcing businesses to be able to struggle. They're forced to cut costs internally. They are moving overseas altogether to be able to bolster liquidity in the American economy, where businesses strive to grow, expand here, and have the ability to export what they produce as opposed to exporting their jobs in the company. The companies themselves. There are regulations that the left wing of this country have been advocating through regulatory power that ends up causing businesses to go in the wrong direction. And President Trump, when he called me up, he was rattling off 15, 20 different priorities, a clear focus. You know, he wasn't reading off of some sheet. It's the top of his head. And if I challenged him to give me 50 more ideas of what to do with this agency to improve the economy, I'm confident he would have done that. So advancing America First policies is one of the reasons why President Trump got elected. We have to make America great again. And often when he talks about that at the end of his rally speeches, he was also talking about making our country prosperous again. And it's something that he deeply believes in. This is going to be a great 4 years for America. It's not just about a great day one or a great first 100 days. I have a feeling that we're on the verge of what could be the greatest 4 years we've ever seen of any president in the White House.
Makes me very happy to hear that. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Sinneminson and Woodbury. Make your appointment today for a free implant consultation by going to VeneriaDental.com. Of course, Lee Zeldin is going to have to battle with the bureaucrats in the EPA. You know, this is where the Trump administration is wise to go after the bureaucracy, because the bureaucrats typically sit there on the 12th floor. And they don't worry about the administrator or the president thinking, oh, I will outlast you. I've been here 20 years. I'll be here 10 more years. And I'll find a way to slow down your policies. And I'll make sure that we just wait the clock out till we get another progressive kook in here. This time around, they've seen the power of the bureaucracy. And they know that the bureaucracy has to be dealt with. And I think that is going to be job number one for this administration, because the bureaucracy has gotten too powerful. The fact that unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats can literally derail the agenda of the president of the United States, who wants to make the EPA more business friendly, for example. And they can. They have the power as of right now to do that. And they laugh at whoever the administrator or the president is. They're like, we've heard this before. This time around, Trump's going to go after the bureaucracy, and that's going to be the difference. Justin, who's this NFL player that got fined for wearing a MAGA hat? Do you follow this guy?
That would be Nick Bosa, plays for the San Francisco 49ers as a defensive end. I do follow him.
He's a good player?
Very good player. One of the best defensive ends in the league.
He crashed a live interview after his team's win against the Cowgirls late last month, and he was fined $11,255 for wearing a MAGA hat. I thought they're all about those symbols and sayings on all their helmets and the end zone and their socks and everything else, right?
Yeah, they're fine with having political messages in the game as long as it follows the follows their donors' values, not anything that goes against message. You know, like you can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't go against message. Then they start fining you.
So if he came out with an end racism hat on, that would have been okay. But a Make America Great Again, which doesn't in and of itself, it's not a slogan that exclusively belongs to Donald Trump. You can't say that. You can't say I want to make my country great again. What if part of making your country great again is ending racism, though?
You can kneel for the anthem. You can wear end racism apparel. But as soon as you start going off their policy, the policy that the people above pick, that's when it starts getting into the verboten territory and you start getting fined.
Good use of the word verboten. Hey, DeSantis, what did he do on Sunday at the game?
So the 49ers played the Buccaneers on Sunday. And you know that little, like, fist bump dance that Trump does when he dances to the YMCA?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he got a sack, and he started doing that afterwards, which was pretty funny.
Oh, that's really funny. We were not able to stream clips today on YouTube. We're a little short-staffed. But if we could, we should grab that for tomorrow's show and stream that. I'd like to see that. That's funny. Good for him. That YMCA is now, like, the most popular song in America again. It's amazing. YMCA, sang by a bunch of gay dudes in costume, is now a song that represents Donald Trump's victory. Isn't that something? We live in the craziest time ever. Truly. Truly. But you can say the Indian, because that was one of the characters in the YMCA. You can say that now without having to worry about losing your job. Or maybe I still have to worry about losing my job, but nevertheless. All right, that's what they called him back then. They didn't call him the Native American. All right. So, I got a big hour coming up.
Thank you for clarifying.
Just pointing that out. If you Google Village People Indian, Felipe Rosa is the musician who was an original member of the disco group The Village People. They didn't change it to the Native American. They give it just the Indian. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, take it up with the musicians, the Village People. Don't take it up with me. It's not my character. Well, I bet you they're going to make Halloween comebacks. What do you think? I bet you 100%, right?
Oh, the Village People, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, right? There was an article a few years ago. I guess Felipe Rosa split from the band and wound up, and I'll read you this from the Associated Press. Yet it was Felipe Rosa, the Indian of the Village People, who all but stole the show. Rose and Tammy Murphy, wife of Governor Murphy, inducted singer Gloria Gaynor into the Hall of Fame, and Rose was hard to miss. He wore his Native American garb, including a headdress and suede vest. My wife left me in Jersey and is now touring with the Village People, quipped King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness at the time. There you go. All right, listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding is going to help you with your home. Peace and protection are paramount in this day and age, and so is saving money. That's why each and every one of my listeners gets a 10% off inflation relief discount from Emmons Roofing and Siding. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine, and they will do great work for your home. Just reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com. Whether it's doors, windows, siding, or a roof with a lifetime warranty, they serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And they'll do a great job for you. Matt and Stephanie will make sure you're happy and the job is done on time. In a day and age where there's a lot of scammers out there, too, you should know I've used Emmons in my home, two different homes now, over the course of 10 years, and they've done a great job for me every time. So reach out to them today and take advantage of that 10% off inflation relief discount by EmmonsRoofing.com. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.